Conversations with Joan Lewis.
Joan, just as the living water is the theme for this Sunday's Gospel, there's also the living bread that has been a theme for this week.
As a matter of fact, it has. There was the announcement during the week that on next Tuesday, March 13th, the post-synodal document, the apostolic exhortation on the Eucharist, would be presented on that day, on March 13th. And the title is Sacramentum Caritatis. And interestingly enough, since the word caritatis can be translated two ways, I called somebody at the synod to say, is this translated as the sacrament of love or the sacrament of charity? And he said the title is the sacrament of charity. And he said it's theologically richer to use that term charity for caritatis. And because, of course, like we had the Pope's encyclical with caritas in it, and there it was translated as love. And as you read the document, you could understand why.
Well, love is expressed in charity.
Well, that's what I said to Father. I said, of the two words, I said, love is expressed in charity. Charity would imply love. But he said the theologically richer term of the two for this purpose certainly is the translation in English, charity. Now, interestingly enough, we kind of expected this simply because in a February 22nd meeting with the Cardinal Vicar of Rome and the pastors of Rome's, of the diocese, 338 parishes, Pope Benedict had this wonderful 90 minutes of give and take, question and answers with all of them. And during that talk, conversation, he did say he would shortly sign the document on the Eucharist. And he said at that time, and this again, just kind of off the cuff, he said it will help in liturgical celebrations, personal reflections, preparing homilies, and in celebrating the Eucharist. And then I think this is rather interesting. He said it will also serve to guide, illuminate, and revitalize popular devotions. So what he has in mind by that, we will have to see when, of course, the document comes out. Now, this will be presented on the 13th by two people in the Holy See Press Office, Cardinal Angelo Scola, the Patriarch, of course, of Venice, and he was the Relator General at the October 2005 Synod on the Eucharist. And then also present will be Archbishop Nikola Eterovich, the Secretary General of the Synod of Bishops. And it's interesting, as I talked to someone at the Synod to ask again about the translation of the word caritatis, he noted that though the document is presented under a papal signature, so this is going to be presented as Pope Benedict's apostolic exhortation on, etc., the post-synodal documents are very much like the synods themselves, the fruit of much collaboration, of collegiality that really marks every stage of the process from the moment an idea comes or a theme comes for a synod to the process leading up to it, the synod itself, and then post-synod.
With you mentioning collegiality, collegiality was such an important force in the documents that came out of the Second Vatican Council that the Pope and the bishops together guide the Church.
Exactly. And that's why this person, at the Synod wanted to stress this aspect of a final document of a Synod. This is obviously not the first ever post-synodal apostolic exhortation. So but what happens is that after Synod, you have a specially chosen council of members from the Universal Church who were at that Synod. They meet periodically to gather, among other things, the prepositions formulated by the Synod Fathers. They study areas that need action, and they make recommendations to the Holy Father for the exhortation. So this all goes to him. And then the Holy Father thus, because of the material he has at hand, writes the exhortation in collaboration with them. And then I found out, interestingly enough, it's actually one person, it's an expert, that writes the actual document. So you've got the Synod with its ideas and prepositions. You've got the Pope putting a whole bunch of ideas in paper, maybe even formulating them as a document. Then you have an expert writing it.
And then that means it's synthesized.
It's synthesized, and then its suggestions are made to the Council, and the document is then given to the Pope, who adds whatever he wishes, and then that is rather the end of the procedure.
Well, it struck me that it's very appropriate that it's coming out at this time in the middle of Lent, because in the next few days we're going to be beginning to look more and more at the centrality and the meaning of the Eucharist in our own lives and in the life of the church.
Well, that's very, very true. And then Holy Week in just over a month, I think it is, you're going to have Holy Week, you're going to have the institution of the Eucharist. And that's very possible that the Holy Father wanted people, wanted bishops, wanted pastors of parishes, wanted the faithful to reflect on the Eucharist, because we're going to be looking at the institution of that sacrament on Holy Thursday in particular. We've mentioned the Holy Father once or twice here, and actually he made his first appearance in a week, his first public appearance, if you will, last Sunday when he came to his window at the noon Angelus, because obviously he and the senior members of the Roman Curia had been in retreat for the previous week, well, till Saturday morning. And the Pope reflected on the day's gospel account of the Transfiguration. And he said that Christ took Peter, James, and John with him to Mount Tabor to, quote, show his friends the interior light that suffused him when he prayed, altering his countenance, making his raiments absolutely dazzling, and thus reflecting the splendor of the divine person of the incarnate Word. And the Pope said, in his dialogue with God, so you have Christ praying, you have Christ talking to God the Father, Christ praying, which is what we do in our prayers. And so the Pope said that in his dialogue with God the Father, Christ does not escape the mission for which he came into the world. And of course, he knows that to reach glory, he will have to do this through the cross, something that we all have to remember in our lives too. But for a Christian, said the Holy Father, prayer, this conversing with God, is not evading reality, just as Christ did not evade the cross. Praying is not evading reality and the responsibilities it entails, but taking them on completely, trusting in the faithful and endless love of the Lord. And then I loved these words. He said, prayer for the Christian is not an accessory, an optional, but a matter of life and death. And he said, only those who pray, who entrust themselves to God with filial love, can enter into eternal life, which is God. So, I mean, at first you think of like a car. You buy cars with accessories or extras or options or whatever. And the Holy Father is saying, prayer is not one of those. It is not an option. It is mandatory.
Using the simile of the car, you can't have a car without the wheels and the chassis and the engine. And prayer is the engine, the chassis, the wheels.
It's the whole thing. So it's actually a good, you know, I think the Holy Father is very good in this. If he can make you by, say, using such words, he may not have thought of a car. But if to the rest
but
of
it's
us...
it's a good simile.
It's a wonderful simile. And if anybody thought about it, they're going to look at it perhaps just as you did, you know, right now. Hey, you know, that's one way of looking at prayer, certainly, the necessity of it. But there's another interesting story I'd like to kind of point out before our time gets away from us, and that is that a Holy See delegation, as we are actually speaking, led by Monsignor Pietro Parolin of the Secretariat of the State, he's Undersecretary for Relations with States, which is kind of the Vatican's foreign office, if you will. This delegation, three-member delegation, is in Vietnam. And they're spending 1 week there. I believe they arrived Monday the 5th. They're meeting with religious and civil officials, including those at the Ministry for Foreign Affairs and the Office for Religious Affairs. Now, I think the idea behind this, of course, is to gather a lot of information, talk to a lot of people there with the aim of eventually establishing diplomatic relations with Vietnam. And there's a couple interesting recent developments. One, of course, was the fact that on January 25th, the Prime Minister, Tan Dung, was received by Pope Benedict in audience. And that was the first ever encounter between a Vietnamese Prime Minister and a Pope. And the interesting thing about Vietnam is that it has 6 million Catholics. I've forgotten what its overall populace is, but it's the Asian country with the second largest Catholic populace after the Philippines. Now, 2 days before the visit of the Prime Minister on the 25th, the Cardinal Pham Minh Man, the Archbishop of Ho Chi Minh City, had told Asia News that he saw no obstacles to diplomatic ties between the Vatican and Hanoi, and he really said it's time for official relations. So it's expected that those relations will obviously be on the delegation's agenda. And one of the interesting things is that Vietnam currently has three vacant dioceses. So it's expected that the delegation will probably follow tradition and propose the names of candidates to head those dioceses. And there's currently an agreement between Vietnam and the Vatican that the bishop designate named by the Holy See is appointed if the government accepts. If they don't, what happens? Of course, I guess we don't know, you know, officially that they did or did not approve. But then apparently, I mean, there's obviously a second name. So that sounds like it's one of the problems that has to be worked out before we would establish diplomatic ties. There's always little knotty, thorny issues that have to be, not always, but most of the time, issues that have to be worked out, you know, with the government so that the church, as the Pope said in yesterday's audience, kind of summing it up with terms we all know, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's.
And we pray for success.
And we do indeed. So we hope they come back with good news or that we hear something in, if not weeks, in several months.
And God bless.
You've been listening to Joan Lewis. To find out more about Joan or to ask her a question, please visit our website at vaticanradio.org.